This is episode number 63 with Alexis Cara. Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin. What is up, greats? Thanks so much for hanging out with me today and spending some time with me in your ears. Yeah, that sounds a little creepy, but I'm hanging out in your ears today, and I've got a friend of mine on. Her name is Alexis Cara, and she is a fabulous individual, extremely stunning and talented in many different areas of life. But today we're going to be talking about her and her hit new show called Mixology, which is on ABC. She's one of the lead actors on the show. It's extremely funny. It's by the guys who created The Hangover. So for all of you who like that type of humor, check out this show. And Alexis has a very interesting story about how she got to becoming a star on Broadway and then taking her career and transitioning from New York City to Hollywood and making it on TV as a star on TV, and the journey that it took her from Broadway, all the training for the years of not getting a hit role on a show, on a major TV show in Hollywood, and then how she got the gig and what's next for her and all that stuff in between. So had a great time talking with her today. We hung out in the studio. I'm excited to introduce you to her and let you dive into her story. So without further ado, let me introduce you to the one and only Alexis Cara.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that the U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut. If you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Okay, quick math. The less your business depends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite, and you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/greatness. netsuite.com/greatness. Again, head to netsuite.com/greatness. Welcome back, everyone, again to the School of Greatness. I'm super excited today. I've got my friend Alexis Cara on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And you're going to have a sultry, sexy voice this whole episode, so I'm very excited.
I know. I feel a little bit like, I feel like I should start singing everyone jazz.
Exactly.
That is a dream. I'd love to be a jazz singer someday, but we'll get there.
Wow.
We'll get there.
You sing.
I do. I am a singer.
I just watched part of your, Mentalist reel.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're singing for like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Little jazz numbers.
I play a total B-I-T-C-H in that.
You look like it.
She is, yeah. That character was not happy.
So Alexis is a friend of mine. We've been friends for what, like 6 months now, mm-hmm. I think. I think we met originally at Summer Series, maybe before then, but
yeah,
we hung out.
Before that. Yeah,
we hung out there, mm-hmm. and you are close friends with a good friend of mine, Caduce, who's been on the show. And you guys are actually together and living together and having a great relationship. We got to hang out. We've been hanging out over the last 6 months here and there. And I'm very excited because before, when I first met you, you were working on a show. And now the show is out. It's called Mixology. And it's extremely hilarious. So congratulations.
Thank you.
And you've played a big role in there so far. It's been like half the episodes are out right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tonight is episode 6. So we've
episode
got
6. Mm-hmm. How long does the season go?
13.
Wow, that's long.
Yeah, well, most comedies are 22, so it's actually half a season.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. Why? Man, that's a long time, though. 13 episodes, mm-hmm. first season, and what's the response so far?
Well, it's mixed, which I'm really in this place right now. We might as well get into the life stuff where I'm like in surrender mode because I think I'm discovering that when so many people feel a certain way about something, like when there's like an all mentality, like if everyone loved the show, there's not as much diversity or fun in that I love those gray areas. I'm really starting to embrace the differences of opinions, even of something that could be hurtful. And that's one of the things that in my life I've noticed that I've been working on personally is not taking things as personally. I'm working on personally. I'm just going to keep saying that or that adverb. So the show has been welcome to mixed reviews. And I say welcome because a lot of people really love it. And then a lot of people really hate it. Mm. And I'm like, yes, awesome, because it's a really cool, I'm learning a lot. I'm learned a lot at how I could, different ways I could have played Jessica to create a little bit of a different result, really. Mm. I would say most people really like the show that of course people are, you know,
but
I have friends that I've given permission to really be honest with me. And I like one friend of mine this is a friend who I would really want to love the show. And he doesn't, he likes my character. And he's like, and I think you're doing a great job. And perhaps I am biased again towards you, but he just doesn't happen to like the show. But that's like one in every five people. Mm. I think most people love it.
I mean, I think I just like that type of humor. It's by the Hangover guys who wrote it, right? And so for me, the Hangover is hilarious. And maybe just because I'm like a young dude or something, but
it's an LOL.
Yeah, it's just like, it's ridiculous. Yeah. And it's just funny. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, if I didn't know you, you know, I still think I would love it. Like, I'm laughing so much during the show.
Oh, good.
Like laughing out loud, not just like hee hee, you know, right. I'm like, this is hilarious. So
yeah, Caduce laughs out loud too, which is fun.
And again, I don't know if it's because I know you, so I'm like open and I'm like, oh yeah, this is gonna be great. Mm-hmm. But I think it's incredible. So hopefully they pick it up for another season. Is that the plan right now, or what's the deal?
Well, we still don't know. The hands of the show are in the network. So we'll know probably end of May. Okay. Whether or not we'll get a second season.
Wow.
So it's a little bit of, again, surrender, free fall, because I'm in a contract with ABC Network, which I love working for them. Disney. I see your Disney quote up there. If you can dream it, you can do it.
Yep.
I actually spent my birthday at Disney this year.
That's right. Caduce took you.
We went because I'm an ABC employee. We had a guide the whole time.
No
so
way.
I got to take my sister, my nephew, and my boyfriend, and we went to the park we got the fast passes, and we were at the front of the lines, and we had somebody take, it was a dream.
Wow.
It was awesome. And I hadn't been to Disneyland. I've only been to Disney World.
Oh.
So, but yeah, I think the plan, of course, would be to have the show for sure for at least another 8 seasons. I don't know if the sustainability is there with the concept with the exact same cast, but these showrunners are creators, the Hangover guys, John Lucas and Scott Moore. They're two of the most collaborative and humble people that I've ever met in this industry.
Mm.
And part of that comes from their self-deprecating humor, which is very funny. But they really are two guys who are really open to anything. So I feel like the show could go on longer than what people would think that a lot of people are like, I don't see how this, how you guys could have another season and how it work, could right. work. And I'm like, oh, you just wait. These guys are creative. And we have some ideas and we've heard some ideas from them. So
wow.
the network loves our show. So fingers crossed.
And they wouldn't create a show for like one season, like the potential of one season, right? They'd create it with the potential of a few seasons at least.
Yeah. So it would sure be a really, not a great business model. It'd be like, right? You guys, we have this amazing show and it's only for one season.
Right.
Although actually, you know, that some people would be like, would think that there'd be like something shiny in that, it's, you
true,
know, but this is designed to have many seasons.
That's cool. That's yeah. cool. Well, hopefully it continues. I think it's funny. So
thank you.
Now, how old are you now?
33.
Is that your stage number or?
No,
I'm just kidding.
1981.
Because most women, I feel like in Hollywood are always like, oh, I'm 23 when they're really like 30.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm pretty much just about being, keeping it real.
That's good.
Yeah.
Now you had you went to Yale, which is pretty impressive. And then you took a break to go do theater for a while. Mm-hmm.
You've done your research.
And then, yeah, well, I'm talking to you and it's on your website, but yeah. And then you got the bug to do Broadway and mm-hmm. you were like on Wicked and mm-hmm. a few other shows.
Mm-hmm.
How long yeah. were you on those, you know, on the Broadway?
I was on The Great White Way, as we call it, for about almost 6 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right out of college?
Mm-hmm. I did the national tour of the show Fosse when I was 19. That's what I took my first semester of my junior year off and I toured with the company. So after that, I was very clear that I was like, okay, I want to do this.
Sure,
like,
you
this
loved
is,
it.
It was what, it was my biggest dream was to always dance on Broadway. I just, my intellectual, rational brain, I come from a family of doctors, mm-hmm. Really wanted me to want to do something else. But mm-hmm. in my heart, that's what it was.
Sure.
So, and my family was totally supportive. They were scared, but they were supportive. My mm-hmm. mom was, you know, she did a lot for me to if it was, I would not, definitely not be where I'm at without my mom. I mean, and I know everyone says that and I'm like, I really truly mean my mom has just been the absolute support and rock and tough love too to face some of the realities of this business, which are not shiny and pretty. And Broadway was, it was my dream come true. It's not an easy life. It's a tough schedule, the 8 shows a week. You work on holidays when you're working when everyone else is off.
Right.
You do, you know, you're doing the same thing every night. It's a different audience. And now I think I went back to Wicked once a couple years ago and it was, and I had done some work on myself.
It.
No, to be in it.
Wow.
And I'd done some work on myself and I noticed how I was like, oh, I can really shift how I experience this show. And how I could, I just went into it with a lot more gratitude than I think I used to. I think I used to take a Broadway a little bit for granted because it is because of the 8-show week schedule and you are doing the same show. It's like the show, it doesn't change.
Yeah.
But how you are in the show changes. I mean, every day is different and sure. the audience is different. And, but it takes a number on your body.
Yeah.
And the last show I did in New York was called The Pirate Queen and it was the guys who created Les Mis and Miss Saigon, it was their show with the Riverdance producers. And it was a beautiful, epic, huge $18 million production that flopped.
Really?
It was tough. It was a really talented cast. And it couldn't get its legs. And after that, I was just kind of like, I need a change. I was just ready to take a leap.
What year was this?
It was 2007.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I came out here that fall, but I still had my place in New York and I was here when the writer's strike happened.
Perfect timing.
I know, it was pretty, but I did get a feel for living here and I took some classes and I had, you know, I had savings so that I could really take the time to discover what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then in 2008, an opportunity opened up when Wicked was in Los Angeles to work on the show. And that was a perfect opportunity to actually move across the country. And I had a job.
So you did Wicked here. Mm-hmm. So that was here for like a year then, or what was that?
They were here for a while, but I did the show for about a year out here.
Okay.
On and off for about a year.
So your goal was to live out here and work, but also kind of get in the acting scene. Was that kind of like the next transition?
The goal was definitely to get into television and film, and Wicked was a vehicle, not only financially, but just like logistically to have the reason to really make the full move.
Mm.
And I noticed that like now I'm creating an opportunity to be bi-coastal because I'm now working both coasts. But at that time it was like I had to put both feet in one city and really be committed to like the television and film. And that took a while to get really clear about that. And it wasn't really until I think 2012 that I was like 1,000% in, to a point where I was like, I'm so into whatever is going to happen, but I am bringing my whole self in it no matter what. And then the result didn't even matter because I knew that I could leave. If I chose it, I could be like, I literally gave everything I had.
Wow.
I left it all on the floor, like sweat, blood, tears, joy, everything. And that's when the results came.
Wow. Okay. So let's back up because we skipped past Broadway quickly how... You know, you're just like, yeah, I was on Broadway and it happened. So for most people, that's like a dream come true. And it takes like years of them like training and like all this dedication and commitment and like moving to New York and like failing over and over and over again. So how did it happen? So it seems so quickly for you to get just like, oh, I'm on Wicked. Were you like a lead or were you just...
I was in the ensemble.
Okay.
I wasn't a lead in any of the shows I did. I was ensemble and I would understudy a lot of times or I would dance captain the shows, which was mean that I would be a part of keeping like the show looking clean and put together.
Nice.
But I moved to New York, and because I had the Fosse experience, like I had that credit and I had what's my union card, my equity card, it did make it a little easier for me to just like go to auditions, because in the Broadway scene, which is different from out here, you don't really have to have an agent. You can just go to auditions. They're open calls all the time. Mm-hmm. They're required. They're called equity required calls. So like Wicked every 6 months has a required call. Oh. And that's how I got Wicked. I went to an open call.
And they were just like, we like you.
And they loved me. And I had it clicked. And they called me like 3 months later. I was like, I kept on like a file for them. And they're like, we have a spot on the show. We want you to do it. And I was like, I was actually doing another job at the time in California. And I had to get out of that gig to go to Wicked because,
That was like, that's like a big gig, right? Wicked?
It was huge. They had just won the Tony and I was one of their first replacements, and I did what's called vacation swinging at the time, which
sounds sexual.
It does. I know. My mom would tell people that I was a swinger. I'm like, okay, Mom, that's not what I am. And that's not it. It's a swing. And basically a swing in a Broadway show is somebody who learns all the parts. So I learned all of the female parts in the chorus. Mm-hmm. I knew them all, everywhere they go, where they change.
Okay,
like,
that's
cool.
Crazy. That's a lot. That's like being the quarterback and knowing where everyone goes in the field, every play, every movement.
But then also doing those plays.
Jeez.
Because I don't just know it. I have to then do it.
Wow. So you're like the Jill of all trades or whatever.
Yeah, you're like the Jedi gypsy member.
You like know everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredibly hard.
So it was intense. And so I did that for Wicked. I did that for Fosse. And I did that for Sweet Charity, which was another show I did, which is another Fosse show. But it was a revival. And Christina Applegate was the star. And she was awesome to work with. And I was the only female swing for that.
So you threw everything.
Everything.
And there's a swinger for each show, I'm assuming.
A swing. Right? Not a swinger. Swing. There probably are swingers in each show, but there's a swing for every, swing. There's usually several swings.
Okay.
And
if someone goes down one night, then you got to hop in, right?
Oh, that's the first time I ever went on in Sweet Charity. But in Sweet Charity, because of our budget, we only had one. I covered nine people.
Oh, my gosh.
Usually there's at least two.
Lines and everything.
Everything.
Dances, lines,
warriors. Everything. Everything, really? everything.
How do you remember all of that?
I don't know.
Oh my
God. I was good at it. And that's part of the reason why I left New York, is because I got known as like the girl who could do it everything.
Wow.
So I could never really just move into wanting to just have my own track or be a lead or whatever. I mean,
sometimes that's a challenge. The person who can do everything can't do anything really well, right? Because you're just like good at
it. Well, I had to learn to say no. So I did. And towards the end of my career, after I did Swung Sweet Charity and Dance Captained It, which was a tremendous experience with a lot of ups and downs, I finally was really clear that like the next show I was going to do, I was going to literally only just have my part, no other responsibilities, and I would just enjoy the run. And that's what I did in the show The Pirate Queen. It was about a year and a half of employment of just like creating a show from the ground up and my own what they call track. Was like my own, like what I would do in the show. And it was awesome. It was a really great way to end my Broadway experience, but I'm ready to go back to Broadway.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Already?
That's part of the reason why I came out here, is I was like, the only way I'm going to really get to be play a role that I would really love to play on stage as if I'm a, if I get a name for myself. Because that's kind of how it works in New York now.
Shut up.
Most of the leads are...
You got to get famous and then you can have like a lead.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I've been like really putting that out there.
So Broadway is what you want still.
I would like to do it. That's why I'm saying I want to be a bi-coastal. I would love to do a show for like 4 months or a run, like a 6 week run of a play, or like be in Chicago for 6 weeks and on Broadway and then be able to shoot my series here and do all the philanthropy.
Do it all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what if you could combine it into one thing, like a smash?
Heck yeah.
That'd be cool, huh? I loved Smash. I don't know why they canceled it.
I know. Megan Hilty. I did Wicked with Megan.
Which one's Megan?
The blonde.
Oh, yeah. She was great. The one who could sing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She did Wicked. Uh-huh. Like, she was like the lead, right?
Yep.
Or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that's like the ultimate, right?
Yeah.
You could do TV mm-hmm. and...
Well, that's what... I'm starting a production company, and that's what part of the company is to do more... it's called Cinedance Worldwide, and it's about... It's creating... stories that are involve dance and music and different forms of storytelling to kind of weave all that in, because that's what I love to do. I love to be on camera and tell stories, and I love to dance and sing.
And perform.
And it doesn't have to always be like, music of Broadway. Like, it doesn't have to always be that, even though I actually still love that. It can look different ways, you know? I mean,
sure.
There's a lot of creative people with lots of fun ideas, so I want to find those people and help them develop it and produce them. And
that'd be cool.
Be like Baz Luhrmann.
That's cool.
Only American and blonde.
So.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share, because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am, or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all, or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life, so don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide. When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
So how long, so you were out here doing Wicked, what mm-hmm. year was that?
2008.
And then when did the musical theater or Broadway stuff end?
2009. Like, I pretty much did it for the whole year, and then I chose, the company moved to San Francisco, and I chose to stay in LA.
You're like, I want to be here.
I was like, I came out here to do film and television, and so I took that leap of faith, and I had a little bundle of savings.
Sure.
And I just went hardcore into...
For the last 5 years now, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
That's what you've been doing.
Yeah, my first pilot season was 2009, so okay. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 13, and I booked Mixology, and yeah.
So it took you 5 years of being out here.
Mm-hmm.
Pilot season is like 1 month in February, right? Or it's just 2 weeks or something like that.
It depends.
Right?
It's really a few months.
Okay.
Actually, it kind of usually starts end of January, early Feb, and it can go through March, sometimes April. it just really, this was a short pilot season this year, but last year it was a long pilot season. So it's very, depends on like the number of projects and the budgets and
Okay.
The networks.
So the goal is to kind of hone your acting skills, get some commercial, like commercial gigs here and there to make some money and then get ready for pilot season. Is that kind of like what the actors do or how does it work?
I don't think that there's a formula, but that's ultimately what I decided to do. I decided to pare down my extra commitments during pilot season last year so I could really focus. And that was the difference for me, is that every audition was like, not that it was so precious, like, oh, this is the audition that's going to change my life. Like, not in that way, but I just gave, like I said, I just gave my all to everything because that's, it felt good. It's like, it is the analogy, like it's harder to, you know, go at 75% than it is to go at 150%. Mm. It takes, to me, it's like, I just was like, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in this for all of it.
For as long as it takes or what?
Yeah. I mean, well, no, actually, I did kind of say like, this is the year I'm just giving my all and then I'll reevaluate.
2013.
Yeah. 2013.
Really? You're like, I'm gonna give them all because you've been here for 5 years.
Yeah. And I started to feel like that because I'm a person, I consider myself an intelligent person who wants to give back to the world and wanted to like live in a purpose. If I wasn't living the purpose that I was meant to live, then I was like, okay, I need to relook at what really is what I really want to do, because I didn't want to keep living in a realm of not doing what I said I wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So then I was like, I thought, well, maybe I'll shift to write. I mean, I didn't know what that was going to be, but then mixology happened and it's just completely affirmed it. And who knows what will happen. I may be back in pilot season next year. I mean, I don't know. And I could be here. I could sit here a year from now and have just turned 34 and say, wow, I am, you know, I'm in the game again.
Wow.
And I would rather be here saying like we're in the middle of shooting another season or whatever, but I'm in it for the long haul now.
Really?
Yeah.
You got a taste of it. What's it taste like?
Yeah. Sweet and salty and with a little bit of a crunch.
Is it as good as you dreamed it to be?
Absolutely.
Really?
And it's just going to keep getting better. Because I finally feel like I can be responsible for any kind of anything that comes out of it. I mean, I definitely didn't get in this industry to be famous or to like, I actually really didn't even think about even like, oh, I want a platform to like do good in the world. I didn't even think about it that way at first. It was the only thing that, even though I actually thought at one point I would be a doctor. I was really interested in neurosurgery because I'm fascinated by the brain and human behavior. But that's actually, I'm a performer by nature. It's just what I do. Dancing is literally like my soul food.
Yeah, we've danced together.
We have.
A little salsa.
Salsa, yeah. You guys, does everybody know that you're like a ridiculous salsa dancer?
Yeah, I think some people know that I dance, but.
Okay, well, I've outed you. On all your fans, #salsa, because Lewis can salsa.
Yeah.
But that being said, I really there's nothing else that I want to do but tell stories. And I think that I know that there are other things I will do, and like as I get older and life, there's changes in life, and I know that I could see myself running a nonprofit. Or I actually told Caduce, I was like, you know what, I could actually see myself being an ambassador someday or a senator. I'm open to actually being in politics someday. I know that sounds crazy, but for right now, I see that any kind of platform I'm building is based around me being a storyteller and an actor and a creative.
What is it about stories that you love to tell so much?
It touches people. It moves people. It accesses parts of people, I think, that we don't use in a day-to-day life, but when they escape into a story, they can like let themselves go into places that they're afraid to go in their own lives. So hopefully it touches them to go there in their own lives or to even just stop and pause and think about it. And maybe it means like, I saw this movie and I picked up the phone and called my mom and I had to tell her about this movie I saw. Or, you know, I mean, I like to do stories that even if they're about things that are dark, like that there's an element of something in them that is transformative.
A silver lining.
Yeah, Silver Linings Playbook or, you know, Dallas Buyers Club. Like that just.
And that was a great movie.
Yeah,
so it was dark, just, but yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Incredible story.
12 Years a Slave. All the movies that were nominated for Oscars this year, Blue Jasmine. I was just floored But I mean, I was like, that's why we do what we do. And then Lupita's speech, did you see her Oscar speech? She won best. Oh, you've got to see it, Lewis.
Good.
She went to Yale actually too.
Really?
She, it's one of the most inspiring speeches I've ever seen. Really? For sure.
I saw McConaughey's.
It's not, I mean, McConaughey's was great, but yeah, this girl just yeah.
This is from 12 Years a Slave.
She won Best Supporting Actress.
I heard it was great, yeah.
And she just really nailed it home about dreams, like sticking to your dreams. It was, Caduce and I watch it and we're like, it still makes me cry.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, maybe I'll put that in the show notes. So what's the story that you remember that touched you the most?
Like in a film I saw or anything?
Anything in your life. Like what's a story that really you associate with that touches you, that inspires you?
You know, one of the plays I saw, and it just turned into film, August Osage County. It was a Broadway play and I saw it twice, and the play is a little over 3.5 hours long. And I thought to myself, oh my God, 3.5 hours long. It's like a advanced course training. It's like, exactly. I mean, I'm going to be there. I'm gonna have to like, you know, bring a snack. And it's a play about a family breaking down and what happens, how they piece together this very messed up thing that happens and everything comes out into the surface. So I like stories that where people are outed and where things are made real. And it's like, character at a crisis, at a crossroads, where you know, and so I really like family type dark comedies, I think, because it has elements that are really funny in it, but it's dark. I like shows like Everybody Loves Raymond. I loved Sex and the City, but I really like edgy things that have like a grit to them, but that there's humor to it, because that's life, like, you know what I'm saying? There's another, when I was younger, I used to like these like really intense relationship pieces. There's this movie I saw called Ordinary People with Tim Hutton and Donald Sutherland. Mary Tyler Moore is like one of my heroes. She's unreal. She's amazing. Like, I love Mary Tyler Moore. And she's in this movie and she plays this ice cold B-I-T-C-H mother. And it's a story about this family and these two brothers, and one of the brothers dies in a boating accident, and it's really the fault of the other brother, and the mother cannot forgive her son.
Oh my gosh.
So it's, and the father is just trying, is so loving, and it's like this story about this, I mean, it makes me cry thinking about it, because it's like, it's just an intense, but it's not so dark. I mean, there's these moments of levity where you see this family just trying to put themselves back together. It's just so real. I just like writers who are not afraid to write the real things. And it's, and to me, the most important things in life are relationships. Like, it's a thing that gives us the most gratification and also that can bring us down the most, because they mean so much.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care as much about my iPhone cracking or my like little bits of dings on my shiny nice car. Like, I don't care. Yeah. I don't care if I, you know, those things are like, to me, the surfacey things where people aren't really wanting to look at what's underneath it. And so a story that lifts the mattress and you see all the gook on the inside, I like that.
Now let's stay on relationships.
I guess I'm really dark. Wow.
Let's stay on relationships, because I'm assuming you've been in a number of relationships since you're in Broadway and your whole career, right? And could you tell a difference with your performance and with your energy when you were in a great relationship as opposed to one that just wasn't working? Or could you just separate yourself when you were working?
I think when I was younger, it was harder for me to. And because the Broadway community is really small, I pretty much dated within the community. So if there was drama going on, so everybody knew, and like it was very, and I did a few things in my past that were, you know, I don't regret them because I learned a lot, but I hurt some people. I think we've all hurt people, and these are really good people that I never really, you know, now I look back, I'm like, wow, I really mishandled that. Yeah. But I do find that I thrive in relationships. Excuse me. I find that I'm freer creatively when I'm in a solid, loving relationship for me. But I actually booked mixology when I was single, and I was single most of 2012 and in the beginning of 2013. So, I don't think that that's like, I'm not making anything up about that. I'm not like, I only book when I'm single.
Right.
So now if I want to book a job, I better break up with my boyfriend. Yeah. And then, but what's funny is that a lot of times that would happen is I would have a breakup and then I would start booking. Yeah.
Because your energy would be shifted.
Yeah.
And you'd be open. You wouldn't have this monkey in your bag.
Yeah. And I'd be like, I don't, whatever. Like, own, like come in Beyonce. You know what I mean? But I'm, that's, you know, I don't have any sort of like, oh, that's what has to happen in order to right. book things. Like for sure. Yeah. Does that answer your question?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. You're asking about relationships.
Now, you know, I would consider myself a performer in my own right as an athlete. You know, I was always striving to be competitive and be in front of an audience and playing the big game. And for me, a lot of it was, when I look back on it, is because I didn't really feel, I guess, like seen a lot when I was a kid. And so I wanted to get really good at something. And so I could get acknowledged and be seen and be like, you know, loved and feel like people wanted to be around me.
Sure.
You know, as a kid, that's how I thought. Mm-hmm. So as an actress, an actor, I guess you don't call yourself an actress. You should call yourself an actor, right?
Yeah, I don't.
It's kind of lame.
I say actress. I don't know. I interchange. Right? Okay. It's interchangeable to me. I'm not going to be nitpicky.
It's like you have to say flight attendant now as opposed to
stewardess. Or, yeah,
right.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. Anyways, so as an actor, you know, what is your... What was your driving force growing up to be a dancer and to be a performer? And like, why did you want to do that? Was it just because you loved the art when you were 7 years old? Or was it because of something else that turned
into... Because I had fun. Mm. Because I had fun. And then when I didn't have fun, and then I started to really gain my self-worth from it. I mostly had fun. But then I also was very hard on myself. So, I would be the, my dance teachers would be like if I would go to a dance competition and the performance didn't go well and everybody knew that they're like, oh,
don't talk to her.
Alexis, she's going to be fit. Whose turn is it to go backstage? Cause I would be like, like
really?
I was, oh yeah, I was totally dramatic, completely like, but it's cause I cared. Cause I wanted to do so good. Yeah. And I really think that a lot of it is definitely approval seeking. And it's how I was, it's how I would measure my self-worth is how good I did, how good I felt I did in my performances.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think, I don't know, maybe my mom certainly loved me plenty in my childhood. I don't have a great relationship. I never had a great relationship with my father. We're mending that now, and I'm very happy about that. I mean, I'm not going to blame why I'm a performer. I mean, there's no blame to be had. Like, no, it's no one's fault, you know? I think that, I think every kid wants, like you said, wants to feel, validated. And when you find something that you're good at and that happens to be fun and you start to get the validation from it, it's that balance as a kid is of maintaining the I'm here just to play the game. Like the joy is in the work versus the joy is in that I did the work and everybody saw me and they love me and I won, bitches. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful dance between the two and I'm still learning that dance. I'm still in that dance. But I'll tell you what, the times where I felt the happiest, like truly blissed out, are when I'm all in and I don't care at all about the result. Because it's not, like I've had that, I've had those moments and if mixology was definitely one of them. I was like so in it, like and happy to be right where I was that I didn't even care if I booked it. I really truly didn't. I like people are like, no, you obviously care. And I'm like, well, yes, I care. I want it, but it's not gonna it can't hurt me because I'm truly not I'm in it because I like I loved it and because I was all in. And that was the part that was the most.
So you were very present. As opposed to attached to the result.
Yeah, I guess I just was, I was in it because it feels better. It feels like my self-worth was coming not out of whether or not I booked it, but whether how much I gave. How much am I going to give to this? All of it. Well, that makes me feel good about myself. because then I can go. It's like when I would study for tests, my mom would always say, I don't care about the grade, but if you feel like you really did your best. And I think that's an important barometer for kids, like, so that they start to understand, like, that you're the gauge of whether or not it's your own best. I know when it's my best. And if I get really clear with myself and honest, and I know that I could have given more, then I'll go, okay, well, next time I'll know where to go. And then that's your own, as we would say in transformation terms, feedback.
There you go.
And give yourself your own feedback.
Yeah.
And with mixology and all pilot season last year, I was all in.
All in.
So I had no doubts.
Nice.
No matter what happened.
Yeah, there's a book called The Four Agreements, and one of the agreements is always give your best.
Don Miguel Ruiz.
Is that what it is? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I haven't read the book, but I've just seen the four, you know, what they are. So yeah. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. But
I have the book. You can borrow it.
Okay. yeah, I guess it's easier to give your best than to give 75% and just be all in.
Yeah.
And then you're going to get the result you want usually. So what if you give your best for 5 years like you did? And then, you know, when does someone, I guess, move on when they realize, you know, they've given their best? You know, I talked to there's a guy I work out with at the CrossFit gym. His Max. He's the Schmidt on the show, New Girl.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He was like, you know, I've been here for 10 years. And there was like years where I wanted to quit, and I finally got it after 10 years. And I was like, how much longer does someone go until they...
I think when you're not happy anymore.
That's good.
When you're not happy. And it's not like a feeling. You know, we talk about not being a victim to our feelings. It's not like I wake up and I just didn't feel great, happy. It's like when it's a consistent earmark of, and you start to trans, and it starts to like if I was starting to lose shape of who I am, like the joy that I have and the positivity, like, and I had some pretty dark moments here, but I didn't hit that point, but I think I would have, like, by year 6-7, I do.
Really?
I know people that have been out here for 15 years and it hasn't happened.
Wow.
And they're not happy. Not all of them, but some of them are not. And then it's like, well,
something's got to shift in order for you to get, if you're that long, it's like, it's not working for you.
Yeah.
So you got to change something up.
But
you were getting feedback though, that it was working. You were getting like little gigs here and there, right? Like,
yeah. I was getting guest stars and also because I made the choice, cause I felt like there was always other things that were kind of getting in the way. That's what I mean by like the all in thing. Mm-hmm. Like I knew that I had to give it a chance where I pared everything back and just focused on this thing just to like go, well, I really like, I went it. In.
So no regrets.
No regrets.
Yeah.
No regrets.
And you were doing like some dance choreography stuff on the side. You were like working on the side as well. So it wasn't like 100% acting, but you were like 100% focused on being available.
Yeah. But I did say no to more of those things so that I could pare myself down because that was one of the things that I found. And I still am balancing this as I'm finding myself this year been way more committed than I ever have. And it doesn't support me really. Like I'm the kind of person that really thrives when I'm doing focused, when I'm doing like less is more for me. And that's been a challenge, especially in like committing to certain things that aren't necessarily related to acting. So I'm learning what that balance is.
Yeah, I think there's a quote out there. I think it's from Warren Buffett. I think. Don't quote me on that. But
okay.
whoever this is says that the difference between successful people and unsuccessful people is that successful people almost say no 100% of the time. They say no to all these opportunities that are constantly coming their way to distract them from the one focus, the goal, what they're really good at. So I think hearing you say that you said no a lot probably supported you in getting the outcome you wanted.
Yeah, and and then it's like this dance between once I commit to something going, well, I committed to it. Now I get to be all into it. Now I get to be all in. Yeah. Otherwise, it's going to be even more exhausting. I think no, you know, it's funny, like when I see kids saying no, I'm like, oh, that kid's, you know, like a 2-year-old, I hung out with a good friend of mine and her 2-year-old. And this 2-year-old is really like, she's just developing her personality and she just says no. And I'm like, and her mom's secretly going, yes, because she's going, well, this girl thinks for herself.
Wow.
She's not just like a, you know, and saying no was a really powerful yes to other things. I always feel like that when somebody says no, it's like, okay, good. You're saying yes to something else.
In another way.
Yeah. Yeah. You're saying yes to something else. What else is it that you really want?
Yeah. That's interesting. Cause I think a lot of people come from the mindset of like, be open, saying yes to everything and be available for everything. But, and there's that movie with Jim Carrey.
Oh yeah.
I forget what it's called, but he has to say yes to everything. And
liar. Or yes. No.
Yeah. So yeah. That's, something like yeah, that or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I feel like there's this perception of like, you know, stretch yourself and do this and that. But I think it's being focused is also a good thing.
Yeah. It's another way to look at it.
Yeah.
There's no right way to do it.
Right.
And so, you know, like I'm in the middle of doing the leadership course of a transformation, training. And it's challenging and I'm trying it on to see where, how far I can stretch.
Yeah.
But it's challenging in a way that I don't know that I would keep up at this way because
for a long time.
Yeah. Because it doesn't, it hasn't supported me in a way that I know that I will go, oh, this works for me. It's like when you find the workout, you know,
sure.
I'm still, I haven't, it's not my full workout yet, but I'm, right. You know, I'm figuring it out. I'm trying it on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's only for 4 months. So it's like, okay, you know, it's not like, okay, commit to this for 14 years.
You can do anything for 4 months.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the season is on right now. So you're not doing any acting. You're not filming right now. It's done.
Mm-hmm.
So what does it happen during the season? Is it kind of just like promoting
Uh-huh.
Watch the show when it comes out.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's some press as much as we can get. It's, uh-huh. I'm still auditioning here and there.
Really?
Not as much for pilots, but like guest stars and any films that we can get. So I can still work on films and, guest star on television shows.
Really?
I can do a few. And so I'm still auditioning for those things. It's also about like training again. Like I'm going to get back into class and, it's about refocusing,
mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm sure after the Olympics, the athletes, well, you're an Olympic athlete.
Well, I haven't made the Olympics yet, but yeah.
Okay. Well, you will be.
Yeah.
But you're training at that level.
Yes.
And
yes.
So, you know, after something big, like you tape or you taper right before, obviously, and then you like have your big meet. And then afterwards there is
it's
a
the
period
off season.
Of, it's like, yeah. What do you do? Yeah. There is that period of time where you can regroup. And I feel like I've also been now writing and I'm slowly starting to get more into the business side of it and producing because I think ultimately I would really like to be a producer.
That's fun.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, thank you. So I see it as another way the platform can open up other opportunities.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Be more powerful. Keep getting good women producing stories for women in Hollywood.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. What's next then after this? What if, you know...
What if mixology doesn't get picked up? Is that what you want to ask?
Yeah, I mean, what's...
Yeah, I mean,
what's
possible.
What's, you know, would you go back to Broadway? Would you stay out here and keep working on other shows? Would you...
I would stay out here. I would stay out here and I would probably explore what other shows, opportunities. ABC is a really big family. That's one thing that I love about them. And so they usually, like, if they like you and they want to, you know, support you, they'll try to get you on another show or,
that's nice.
You know, so I would do that. And I'm really wanting to create my own content, so I'd be willing to go into the jungle of independent filmmaking.
That'd be cool.
And I have never tried that. So, that would be something that
would be really fun.
And that's scary for me, but,
have you done film yet or no?
Yeah, I have done film, but I haven't done a big studio film. That was another one of my goals this year. And I'll just put it out there because
there you go.
One of my big goals this year was not only to create and produce my own, short this year, but to book a movie opposite a master actor. A studio feature film where I'm working and it could be even just like one scene with Denzel Washington. Great. I just want to see a master at work, real master.
Wow.
Just to experience it.
That'd be kind of cool. Those guys are just next level. They're just like
Daniel Day-Lewis, Meryl Streep, Kate Blanchett.
Daniel Day-Lewis is unbelievable.
If I did a scene with Daniel Day-Lewis, I might hyperventilate. Like that's the only thing is I would be so like I would go in totally professional. Yeah. But maybe like the day before I'd be like, oh my God, they know that, you know? But yeah, I would just, it would just be like a to me, just like this massive learning experience to just soak it all in and see this person.
They're just masters of their craft.
Yep.
Daniel Day-Lewis, man. Last Mohicans. Still my favorite.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
I will find you.
Oh my gosh. That was another one of the movies. Like, I remember seeing the movie My Left Foot when I was like 8 and loving it. And people were like watching. I'm like, what is wrong with me? Why do I like My Left Foot instead of, you know, I don't know. That's whatever funny. Was on that's when funny. I was 8.
I like it.
So that's a big goal for me.
That's cool. Well, yeah. I'm sure you'll make it happen.
Yeah.
And what about you and Q? Are you guys doing anything together?
We have some ideas, but he's in the midst of a couple of other projects. So some of the ideas we have, we just like, we shelf them for down the line, but we have like a one sheet for a show that we came up with called That Couple.
Oh yeah.
Cause we like hashtag on That Instagram. Couple on Instagram for a long time.
That can be kind of interesting.
Yeah. So we have some ideas about that and I could see us working together cause he's so open and collaborative and I think we both have fun together, so it would just be fun.
Huh. And you think working with your partner would hurt the relationship or would help? I mean, there's some people that when they work together, they start like tearing apart. Or would that be the true test of like, can we make it?
I don't know. I think LP is pretty much the true test.
That's true.
I'm not even scared by it. I don't think he is either. No, because I think we both are so, like, I'm so cool with being independent too and having my own thing. Like if we felt like we were like on set all day and going home and that we needed a minute, like, you know, he could take a couple of days with the guys or, you know, like I'm cool. Like everybody does need to have their own downtime. Yeah. Even if it's just like, I'm going for a 20 minute walk by myself, whatever, you know, gym time, things like that, yoga, whatever that can even just reset.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to work together with him.
That's cool.
Really excited.
I feel like you guys are, you know, really good at being independent.
Mm-hmm.
You guys both do your own things. And I think some people, when they get in relationships, they really get wrapped up in each other and kind of like forget about what their own lives.
Mm.
And, you know, that's just my perception. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you guys are like, you know,
all over each other.
Yeah, nonstop. But it seems like you guys have a great balance. And it looks like that's what's one of the reasons it makes us healthy. And I'm sure you guys communicate constantly and things like that. But with two people who are, you know, extremely successful and driven and motivated and high energy and influential. What do you think it takes to have a powerful relationship together as well? When you're together or not together with each other at the same time, what's it take for two powerful people to come together and make the relationship work?
I think it takes, a lot of love, respect, and not being afraid to challenge each other. Like I used to, when I was younger, always put the relationship at stake. Like when I felt there was a big something, a fight or anything, like it was always the whole relationship was at stake.
Wow.
It's a little bit of like this idea, and this was something that I definitely have learned as I've gotten older. Like, let's say if I have like a couple zits, like whatever, or maybe I put on a couple pounds, I'm suddenly like, it becomes like, God, I've gained so much weight, or, oh, I have acne. Like I couldn't, it's losing perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So I think to be in a powerful, successful relationship and maintain it's just keeping perspective, which isn't always easy when emotions get in the way.
Right.
So that perspective is key.
Right.
So I think it's maintaining perspective. I think it's keeping it light at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes it's important for us to be like, no one's dying.
Right.
And we love each other. And even when it feels so like intense, that there's a point where we like can grab each other's hands and just like
breathe.
Take a deep breath and go, okay, we actually are on the same team here.
Yeah.
And it's okay for us to have different opinions. In fact, it's awesome that we do. Can we exist? And you know, I think it's important that core values are the same. Money, faith, spirituality, kids, obviously like morality. I mean, I wouldn't be with somebody who felt killing people was okay. I mean, you might want to pause, ladies, like if your man is, you know, killing small animals for, you know, randomly. But, and I say that lightly, but I just mean like having the core values is essential.
Yeah.
And then that then your fights aren't like rocking the core of it. If your fights are constantly rocking a core, then you may not be compatible. Mm. And so I think compatibility is huge. Got to be compatible with the person. Caduce and I are super compatible.
Yeah.
Even though we have some differences in how we do things. And I might be a little, you know, we do have our differences. We are very similar.
Mm. Yeah,
so that helps.
For sure, yeah. So Mixology is on, what time is it on?
It's on Wednesday nights at 9:30 after Modern Family on ABC.
Nice.
And
it's about halfway through right now.
Right. Yeah, we're at episode 6 airs. Tom and Maya 2. Episode 8 will be another big one for me.
Uh-huh.
I've only seen the first 6. So after this week,
you haven't seen it anymore.
I don't know when.
Wow.
Yeah, we haven't seen it.
Yeah.
And so
the cast again is all, I mean, hilarious. I've recognized a couple of them. You know, I watched The Following.
Oh yeah, so Aiden.
The bartender, he's awesome. He got killed off in The Following last year. So.
And he's also in the X-Men movie coming out.
Is he? Oh, okay, cool. Mm-hmm.
Vanessa Lynch's.
This is the girl from Glee.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yes, Sugar.
I mean, I'm a huge Glee fan, so it was sad to see her go, but I guess she's on here now. So, and this guy, what's his name?
Andrew Santino.
He is hilarious.
Yeah, he's pretty funny.
Like, I just laugh constantly. I mean, that's kind of like if you like Hangover stuff, he's like the epitome of the Hangover jokes.
Yeah, the Zach Galifianakis kind of dry, kind of totally like oblivious,
douchey,
you know, yeah. Slightly autistic person.
Everyone is hilarious. I mean, this guy is funny. Like, they all have great personality types. Yeah. Like on the show, they're just like.
He's like what we would call the fish out of water. Like, he just is like so clueless in the bar.
He's hilarious.
Yeah. It's so like the episode where he's like, is that Celtic or whatever, the brooch with the mom, like wingmanning?
Yes,
it's hysterical.
It's funny. Yeah. There's these guys that are like wingmanning like these moms and stuff. It's funny. But cool. So ABC Wednesday nights, 9:30 Eastern. Is that right?
9:30 Eastern or
right
Pacific or 8:30 Central.
Right after Modern Family. That's super cool. So, okay.
Yeah.
So last question. It's what I ask everyone.
Oh.
I'm going to videotape as well.
Okay.
And it's what is
I need my touch-ups.
Exactly. So it's what's your definition of greatness?
My definition of greatness is, I think it really, like, this is what's landing with me right now, is giving... really being able to check in with yourself and get knowing that you're giving your all, giving 1,000%. That's greatness. Even when you don't feel like it, you know, it's like the last mile, or, you know, for me, it was like really giving that pilot season my greatness,
everything,
giving everything. And I don't necessarily feel like, you know, we can give everything to everything at all the time. But if we can really, when I get really clear what it is when I am really giving my all, then I can start to give my all to more things, I think. And I do think that plates can expand. I do think that that's possible. That's where I'm at right now. I'm in that discovery of how my greatness can expand.
I love it. So where can we find you online?
You can find me on www.alexiscarra. Yes,
Cara.
I am Spanish. We didn't talk about that. AlexisCarra.com. On Twitter, it's at AlexisCarra, AlexisCarra. Facebook, look me up. I've got a fan page. Like it.
And you speak Spanish?
Sí, yo hablo español.
Okay.
Sí.
Yeah, Chris Lee was on here a while ago, and he was speaking a little bit of Spanish too.
I love Chris.
In Spanish, let's close it off.
Why not?
With
a Julio Iglesias song.
A thought of the day. Or,
oh, Lord.
Or your definition of greatness abbreviated. Your definition of greatness abbreviated in Spanish.
I don't know if I could say that in Spanish. I'm not fluent. Yo pienso que cuando una persona es en... oh, Lord. I don't know if I can say this in Spanish. No, the pressure, Louis. The pressure. I'm going to give it my all. Cuando una persona es completa, like... when you're all in.
She was going for
toda
it.
Toda adentro.
It's all good.
En todo. Todo, todo, todo. All.
Perfect. I appreciate it, Alexis. Thanks so much.
It was so great. You're so awesome, Louis. And your fans are an attribute. It's like, it's clear that everybody really gets a lot of value out of the show. So I acknowledge you for what you do.
Thank you.
I'm honored to be on the show.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Just believe in me, I'll take you there.
there you have it, Greats. Thanks so much for hanging out with me today in your ears and letting me be a little creepy in your earbuds today, wherever you are in the world. If you are somewhere cool in the world, or if you're on the treadmill or out in the road or on a vacation listening, go ahead and post a picture over on Instagram and tag me at Lewis Howes, and go ahead and tag Alexis as well. She's at Alexis Cara, and I'll post her info over at lewishowes.com. You can check out all the show notes over there and see her videos. You can see a clip from Mixology, which is hilarious. I'm telling you, you're going to laugh your face off if you haven't seen it yet. And you can connect with her over on Twitter and Instagram and all that other good stuff. So thanks so much, everyone, for tuning in, for continually supporting the School of Greatness message, and for sharing these episodes with your friends. I get so many messages from you guys constantly, from listeners from all over the world, who are saying that they want to hear more. They want to get these episodes every couple of days. So I'm going to start putting out more episodes frequently and keep spreading the word. It means so much to me, and it allows me to bring on cool guests like Alexis and attract even bigger guests that that can inspire and educate and entertain you. So keep spreading the word. And again, big shout out and thanks to Alexis for coming on and blessing us with her wisdom today and her story. You guys know what time it is. It's time to step up and go out there and do something great.
You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang and Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I've learned the hard way that constantly holding on to your emotions and repeatedly choosing to not talk about your feelings will only make you feel worse and worse. And up until about 10 or 11 years ago, I was afraid to talk about my trauma that I experienced. And I know we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. But therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to fit your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Lewis today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/L-E-W-I-S.